Have a seat.
Give allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We don't have minutes to approve, so I'd like to introduce Brittany to our commission, newly appointed. Brittany, would you like to tell the commission a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name is Brittany Lavelle.
Mic down a little bit. There you go.
That better? Here we go. My name is Brittany Lavelle Tula, and I'm an architectural historian. I've lived in Mount Pleasant since 2008. I own my own historic research firm in the city, BVL Historic Preservation Research, where I humanize buildings and landscapes for people throughout the Lowcountry. I'm an adjunct professor in the College of Charleston's Historic Preservation Department, and I am also leading the city movement for the city of Charleston to gain World Heritage status for a few of our historic sites in the city, and it's specifically centered on the contributions of Africans and African Americans, and of course our sites that are related to the transatlantic slave trade, and to really showcase the, like I said, the contributions and the role that the Africans and African Americans had in the creation of our country. We believe Charleston's duty is to tell that story. And I'm really excited to be here, and I thank you for the appointment. I'm eager to get started and hope together that we can help showcase the history of Mount Pleasant.
Thank you, Chris.
Glad to have you.
Our last meeting, I wasn't due diligent in running the meeting as good as it should have been. It makes it very difficult for Barbara to take minutes when we have so much discussion. So if I don't recognize you, please don't start speaking. I think that's the proper way to do it. Am I correct? And then we could maybe make the meetings a little bit more efficient that way, too. Okay. Public comment. Anybody?
Well, I'd like to just welcome Brittany. Brittany, I want to thank you. I want to welcome you. My name is John Wright. I live at 145 Rose Lane, and I'm the president of the newly formed African American Settlement Historical Commission, I think we're trying to do some great work, and I really want to thank you. Just recently, I've been appointed to a committee to help create an archaeology ordinance in the city of Charleston, and it's a huge group through the Historical Charleston Foundation, and that became a result of the bodies that were found at Tony Gilliard. So thank you for what you're doing. I welcome you to this historical commission, and my pleasure.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, Walter.
I'd like to address this to Brittany because a light bulb went off in my head. You mentioned I'm Walter G. Brown, Jr. I live 437 Venning Street. But I'm a product of the East Side. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of history on the East Side that a lot of black people don't know. But 89 Columbus Street was the home of William Grayson. And he was a forward-thinking principal of Burke High School. The property is still there. It's not in the family. But I would like to get with you and see what we can do to maybe get some recognition for that. There are still some teachers around because when I grew up on the East Side, that's where the up-and-coming African Americans lived. I can think of 7 black medical doctors plus a podiatrist that lived on the East Side, and over 25 or 30 teachers, black teachers, that lived on the East Side. And what William Henry Grayson did against the objection of the white community, he saw to it that all those teachers at Burke High School had college degrees. So he was really ahead of his time. And when he left Burke, he went and became a professor at Fisk University. So I can be contacted, so I'd like to, you know. And last evening I viewed the city council meeting, and there was some discussion there about preservation of historical sites, especially on 61. And they passed that ordinance last night. And they also talked about short-term rentals, which, you know.
It's a whole other story.
Yeah. But I'm glad you're on the commission, but I'd like to get with you on that. There are a lot of historical sites on the east side of Charleston that people just don't know about. And when the tour guides come, the only place they go is Philip Simmons on Blake Street. Well, that's not the only historical site on the east side. I'd like to get with you on that. Thank you.
Okay, we'd like to move on to staff update. Chris?
Yeah, so you guys had a couple questions for me last time. Ken's not here anymore. I think he was the one that was spearheading the pressure washing of the historical markers.
Right.
I talked to staff, and it's not something that we can just easily go out and do. So I think it'll have to be more or less a little project where we'll need to identify which markers need it, and then we can reach out to public services. Everything costs money, so we'll have to figure out how to budget it. And if they don't have the capability of pressure washing, we'll have to get a company. So if you all want to pursue finding the markers that need cleaning and figuring out how to pay for it, we can make that a project and I can get even more information. There's a question about going ahead and ordering books that would not be completed this fiscal year. I was given a loose no on that because we were pushing them to have the one book that's already in finished this fiscal year and invoiced. If there was the thinking that they could maybe have it done around then, we could maybe work with it a little bit, but they sound like they're so far out that I think it just needs to be pushed to next year. The town process for approving logos, I was sent some examples of logos that the town would approve, and they look like that one up there, which ours does not look like. So I don't know that we can really use it anymore. She said if we really want to push the subject, we can sit down and have a discussion and explain why we need to use the green and white logo.
Yes, Heidi.
Finish. Go ahead and finish.
That's about it, yeah.
I don't recall what it was for, but I think on the website I saw a logo, I don't know if it was Planning Commission or something, but there's a circle around that tree logo.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of looks like the combination of what we had developed and the town logo, because that tree stays in the middle, the bridge.
The same color scheme.
But there's a circle, a band around it, and the band says, I don't think it was Planning Commission, but whatever it was, it said Planning Commission, Town of Mount Pleasant. And maybe that's a way to go.
There are different variations of that logo. The examples they sent me, I think, were from the legal department, and it's that with some other things around it.
Do you see any with a band around it?
No. Don't recall. I'm trying to envision. I feel like I know what you're talking about, but I might be confusing it with another older logo. Either way, they need to be, from what I've gathered, more in line with this, with the color scheme and the same style tree and the bridge and waves and all that. So,
from what I gathered, I don't think any of us were particularly fond of the new one that was developed. So I think the branding of the town is what's most important.
And I can reach out to, that was professionally created, and I assume, like, the legal one was maybe done in-house. But I can see if there's a way to just tweak it in-house, and then I could bring back some examples to you all.
Well, okay. If you can use that with Historical Commission right underneath it, that might be sufficient. I don't know what the others think.
Robert?
You might look at the Cresco Award.
Mm. Okay.
It has the logo and the name of the Historical Commission there.
Okay, kind of for formatting purposes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether that would be usable as the logo for the Historical Commission, you know, I think.
My only concern there is the color scheme. Well, the logo's all gold, but we can look into it. I'll ask around and see if there's ways of tweaking the award or this to better suit the commission, and maybe bring back some examples. And then Lynette's on vacation, but she was offering to come speak to the commission about the kind of in-house oral histories that Ken had been talking about, if that's something you all are interested in hearing more about. I can see if she'll come to the next meeting and talk about what kind of audio equipment we have and our capabilities here.
I did reach out to Ken after he resigned and asked him if he could be involved still with the concept of the oral histories and give me any information that he's already, and he said he would be happy to do that. So there is some continuity between who his successor is and himself. So,
okay.
For as far as oral histories are concerned.
And then lastly, I've distributed all the minute book options, and I think, I don't know if Patrick's going to talk about that in his committee report, but that's what you all have, are those options that the Library Society gave to us.
So I plan to.
Okay. Okay. That's all for me.
The
roster?
The roster. Can you go back and look at the dates of appointed? Because like mine, I redid my,
I'll have Christine, I'll send Christine a message after the meeting and ask her to verify an update.
Well, like, I was appointed on in April 2013, mm-hmm. and I've renewed that on April 2018.
17.
So there should be an expiration, and then I can't be reappointed again. It's to those technicalities.
Okay, I'll just, I'll send her a note. And then whatever changes she makes, I'll just distribute to you all.
And the mayor's letter, did he get it?
I will have to check on that. Yes.
He did? Okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
Anybody have any other open items for Chris for staff update? Heidi?
No, but stepping back, we didn't address at the beginning absences.
Okay. Yep, Mr. Ray is excused. He didn't do it on a timely basis, but it was an emergency. You're supposed to give me 24 hours notice to be excused, but this came up rather short, so. Committee reports. We start with Heidi.
Okay, can we pull up that action plan? Please. Okay, I'll try to be quick, but I got a number of things. Also, one thing I wanted to suggest up front, I'm wondering if there's a way that we can use Google Drive or something to put these things up on a common area where we can all access instead of having to make copies or send by email. But it'd be great if we could all access an area, either Dropbox or Google Drive, and be able to put these up, and people could give edits and remarks, like when you circulated the panels for the history room, for the edits of the text of the timeline and all. It'd be great if we could all have one set then of edits. That way we're not getting multiple and comments. And I think it'd be useful for the Quick Fact Fridays, for anything anybody's preparing, the draft rat card, when I prepare that. And that way we can get edits all and comments all in one place. So is that something you can look into if we can set it up for the commission members to have that?
Yes, I'll see what I can figure out.
Right on top of it. Okay.
But it's not, you're speaking to the side, so it's not picking
up. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Chris?
I'll look into it. Yep.
Okay. Okay, so with the action plan, I just want to really take your attention to the front page. We've got now, with some turnover on the commission, we've got some committee chair areas that we need to address. We have assigned, and William Ray has accepted being with the communications and the historical app, which is treated really as a separate item, but they're all integrated. And really, we've always seen that as a role that really needs two people assigned to it, especially because it's been kind of neglected over recent years. And then with Ken Shortridge leaving, we now need somebody to take the reins for the historical marker program, which really has become a small activity for us because we're trying to move things to the app, but we still need to address it. It's part of our mandate, and also the oral history program. So those were two things that he was spearheading. So I want to just see if we want to consider reshuffling any of our responsibilities, or with Brittany joining us, if she's comfortable taking on any of them. So I don't know if we can make those assignments now.
Brittany?
Yeah, and I was reading this, and I think the historic marker program is really important. And I write the markers for the Preservation Society of Charleston downtown, so I have that experience. And I think that moving to the app is great, but I also think we need that on the ground marker. And I would love to help with that.
Okay. It really is a pretty small thing. It's up to others to come and make applications to us. We really don't receive many anymore. I mean, we have a lot of markers, so I would really encourage you to take on something else too, because it's really not a big task. Okay. Is there anything else that interests you up there?
What?
Or if you want to give it some thought.
Brittany,
let's go thought.
I just wanted to know what is the most in demand?
The communications is something that we really, there's little awareness of us,
mm-hmm.
and more importantly, all the tools we have to help the public get access to information about our history. We've developed a lot of things like the app, the Quick Fact Fridays, our history pages of the website, you know, multiple things, but there's actually little awareness. And so we see it as something that really integrates promoting what we have available to help people do so. So that's what's been neglected. The app itself, Cleveland State is the one that developed it for us. We have, you know, the website that is the spine of it. It's getting very limited downloads. So it's all about awareness of what we have. And that's really what we need attention with, and especially online, you know, promotion.
I'd love to help with that.
Okay, Robert, you had.
Well, I was on oral history. I'll be making in my report some remarks about that, but I'd be happy to act as a bridge from Ken's work and find out where we go from here on that. So you can put me down for oral history for right now.
Thank you.
That's great. Thanks. Okay. So can we just scroll through a few of the pages and look for yellows, because there might be some other things that I really need to get some input on. So I did bring this up to date last night, and I'll be sending it to everybody, circulating it, so that everybody has a copy. But I thought if I could address some things today, like the new chairs, that'd be great to do first. And, okay, are we going to continue when it comes to the Cresco Award? What do we want to do with the honorarium that we attempted to do? Should we drop that now?
I think that should be dropped.
Okay. Because we're not allowed
have the rest of the commission
give it out. Okay. So scroll down. Oh, okay, stop there. Quick Fact Fridays, Brittany. I haven't talked to you about this yet, but it's coming up. But each month, we take 2 months a year, each of us, to write the Quick Fact Fridays that circulate. And it's pretty much drawing from existing information we have on our websites and adding new stuff. But the months that were assigned to Ken were May and September. And he was going to cover military presence in Mount Pleasant in May and churches in September. It's fine to change the topics. We have a list of options, and that handout I can go over with you later shows them. But would you be willing to take on May and September as the months you write the Quick Fact Fridays? And I'm happy to show you. We have a template for it and all that. I can show you what we do. That way we don't have to shuffle everybody else around. Okay, good?
Certainly.
All right, we can keep going.
With regard to Quick Fact Friday, we've all been negligent in getting Heidi the scripts for that Friday, and I'd like to establish a standard that they be done at least a month before your month. Now, as far as Brittany's concerned, that would be a little late, but as we move forward, it would be nice if you have August like I do, I would have them done in July rather than coming up to the last minute and presenting them. So. I don't know. I'd like to make that a rule. Does anybody object to that?
Chris and I don't.
It's just hard to get. People have other responsibilities, so if you're getting them in on the Tuesday or Wednesday before the Friday it's due, it makes it very difficult to do a good job of getting it finished. So
I just, going forward, I'd just like everybody to try to get, not try, but actually get their month done before. Like your September, Brittany would be due in August, so.
Thank you.
And also with regard to that, I did have contact with a gentleman that Chris put me on to, Clary. Mr. Clary has written a book about the Christ Church Line unit that was stationed out at the end, at the Battery. And I asked him if he would be willing to write some QFFs for us, and he said he would. So maybe what I'll do, Brittany, since you have the your May, if you're looking at doing Battlefield or whatever, that maybe he can write up a QFF for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And moving forward, I'd like to solicit other members of the community to help do a QFFs if they would like to. They're not long, and so if people know other people in the community that would be willing to do that, that would be great. As long as they meet the criteria that we're using, to use real information, not Wikipedia type information. So, Patrick?
We've said this before, but I just wanted to keep the conversation directed in this way if other people are amenable to it, is I would like to see this developed as something of a three-year cycle where we recycle some of the old QFFs, what we consider to be the most salient facts of history, repeat those, give the opportunity maybe for guests or introductions, but get this into more of a system where it's not even something we're worrying about with deadlines and what we're getting right to, but also laying the groundwork for what we consider the most important elements of Mount Pleasant history.
Now, we had a nice meeting over at the Senior Center last month, and most of the seniors that were there actually are getting the QFF and really enjoy getting the QFF, so people are reading them. And I did send out an email to the Notre Dame Club in the area to about 300 people. I don't know if we'll see how many people signed up to receive the QFF. So if anybody has a list of people that they think is important, would take a QFF recently and send it out to your email list, and we hope to expand that. Brittany, this is the type of communication stuff that we're trying to do as well. So,
where does it go now, the QFF?
To all the town employees, and anybody who signed up to receive them.
I can brief you on it after, too. I can take you through that. But basically, there's a sign-up option on the website. But it goes out on the town's Twitter and Facebook pages, and it goes out by email for whoever signed up to receive the email. It goes out every Friday. So
and,
I can take, yeah.
And Chris, you sent an email regarding the group, the other group? The Cultural Arts Group, I can't remember the actual name.
CAP.
The CAP.
yeah.
They said that they would be happy to share their list with our list so that we could send out information to both.
Yeah, I think, it's all one master list that it's sent to, but what they suggested doing was we would put a link, I guess maybe down in the bottom block where we have other links somewhere, just saying, hey, if you're interested, check out our other organization, CAP, and then they would say, hey, check out the Historical Commission, or however we come up with it.
I think that'd be worthy to do that. Heidi?
Yeah, I think I'll add the text for where to, I think we're getting pretty long with that paragraph underneath,
sure.
So I'll see maybe if we can tighten it up.
Sure.
Just because we're trying to keep it short and sweet, but yeah, I'll look at that. Okay, maybe finishing with the action plan, some of the key things that, are we going to do another community outreach at another school this fiscal year?
I don't know if we have time.
Or not.
Testing starts in May.
Yeah.
And it gets very crazy. But Walter, if we could meet with Moultrie and set up something for the school year next year, sooner than later, so that we can propose maybe our September or October meeting at Moultrie, that would be great. And then I'll get in touch with Lang and see what we can schedule in February. so that it's, or even in January, so that we can preview Black History Month for February at Lang.
Okay, thanks. Wait, there was a thing to drop. Oh, the national, yeah, the next page. There we go. Robert, do you think we should just go ahead and drop that line item now about the History Day?
Yeah, I think for now we should. Yes.
Okay. Keep going. So the yellows are questions, and when you get this all by email, blue, and it's not coming up well on the screen, is new content, just so people can see what's new. Okay, here are the markers. I know you gave me an update, Patrick. I'm just trying to remember what you said about the Edmund Jenkins. Are we?
That's
we,
part of mine.
Okay, we'll leave it for that. Okay.
I don't know if it comes under. It's fine. It can leave there. We'll treat it.
Okay. Mr. Wright, you're here. The deer tract, is that something that's no? That was something you proposed. Is that correct or not? Am I wrong? Oh, no, no, no. That was another party. I'm sorry. My apologies. We haven't heard back from them, so should I go ahead and just remove that? The deer tract was Lucy Maxwell and Susan Duffy had come to make the presentation. Okay. Primus tract, will you be recording
I've been trying to reach Doug Bostic. He doesn't return my calls. Chris, have you reached out to him? Would you do that?
Yeah, I'll make a note to him.
That tract is starting to be built out, and I know we were not going to put the markers up now, but I'd like to have the text done before that. So.
Well, and I think Chris had explained that the town is reviewing what the obligations are of the developer at this stage, so.
We have a staff person that keeps up with conditions, and that is a condition, so.
So maybe that person.
Somebody will be in his ear.
Right. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. We can keep going. Okay, so I'll be adding your initials, Brittany, to the responsibilities with the historical markers, okay? All right, that can keep going. Again, I'll assign initials. That's all that is, that page. Okay, under the special collections, so we have the history room. I don't know if you'll be talking about an intern, Robert, or is that something... Do we have any idea, Chris, if we might be getting an intern again?
I don't know if we will this year just because it's almost summer and I've not heard one peep about it.
Okay.
I did talk to the history department at College of Charleston, and they said they'd be interested in having an intern. It's just a matter of having the funds to support that person. So can you find out, is there any money for an intern? I know last year your intern was really the planning department. She did a little bit of work for us, but
you're asking if the planning department has funding for an intern
in
for
the
commission?
Well, for the planning department and also to support the historic commission. So.
Okay.
Especially if the history room opens up. You know, if the furniture arrives and materials start arriving, we'll probably need some help with that. So that might be a justifiable
and I guess
grounds
Patrick,
for
I will discuss that.
You'll discuss that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. We can move on. Let's see. That's old Patrick. He'll be talking about that. Oral history, then I'll be assigning you, Robert, to those responsibilities, okay? And then if you want to make any adjustments to the work plan, what you intend to do, you know, that's fine. Go, you know, let me know. Okay, next category is history-related tourism, and there's not much activity there because we're waiting to see what, yeah, the town is doing with some things. And then going to... events. We talked about going to the senior center. They may call us back because there was only enough time for Michael to give the presentation on the history, and there was still interest in learning about some of the things we do have available through the commission to
so
learn more. So they may invite us back at a future date.
Sally or Sarah, Jacob, I'm not sure what
that
her
foundation?
Name is, with the senior center, I guess, has contacted me and she was asking if Michael could give his presentation again. He said yes. I don't know how that fits in with if he ran over last time. I don't know, but.
Well, we didn't have it set. They didn't have the proper equipment for us, so he he couldn't read his notes. He had to just ad lib it, and it actually took longer that way. So, So I think it would be better if you can get us set up better.
She was asking about a date in July. I think July 11th.
Okay.
Mr. Clary, who contacted me through you, I guess, is speaking about his book on July 26th at the Senior Center. So, if anybody's interested in attending that, that'll be on July 26th. And his book is called The History of the 20th South Carolina Volunteer Infantry Regiment, 1861 to 1865.
Okay. Is there going to be a meet and greet this?
Haven't heard anything about it.
Okay. We can continue then. Thank you.
Isn't that usually in May? In the past?
There's only been a couple since I've been here in 4 years, so I think they're kind of irregular in scheduling.
Okay. What category? Okay. This is the communications section, Brittany, so you and I can go through. Well, I think it'd be good if you and William, you know, look this over together and see how you want to tackle it, if you want to make any changes, and how to assign between the two of you what to take on. So it's really this area and then the earlier section on the app, which is in with the map. Okay, so there's nothing here right now. And I'm sorry to take everybody's time with this, but when we circulate it by email, we don't get a lot of the things addressed, so things are slipping through the crack. And if we can get this up on a drive, I think it'd be great if everybody can look at it that way. Okay. And then I'll talk about Rack Card in a minute, so we can keep going. And I think the rest is just admin related, so we're good. Okay, thank you. That fills some holes. All right, so just quickly about the, a few more things about the QFFs. That strategy that I circulated last month is a working draft. If anybody can send any recommendations of how to improve growing the readership. That's something else I'll have to send you. It's a separate thing. Otherwise, we'll keep going. The Rack Card, because last month I had to prepare several of the QFFs complete the other ones received, I did not get to the Rack Card. So I can work on that now, but what I'm concerned about is whether we can have it all done and approved in time for this year's fiscal year for the funds to be, you know, processed by the town. So if that's not possible, I'm wondering, I think we should give some thought to how else to allocate that money, because we don't really have an estimate yet of the two-sided Rack Card. I think we needed to work on that and all. And I think William was supposed to be working on that aspect, so I don't know what he's found out. But we might want to see about allocating those funds, say, to getting more of the manuscripts done or things for the history room, whatever, but I'd hate to, you know, if we have other urgent needs, just how we can redesignate those funds, okay? Let's see. And that's it.
Patrick, can we, hold on a moment. I'd like to, all right, Walter.
Heidi, I'm not sure how this would fit in on Quick Fact Friday, but Moultrie Middle School and Cario, their orchestra, as I'm speaking, they will be performing at Universal Studio in Orlando, Florida from 9 to 9:30. So there are a lot of good things, how I know about it, because my grandson is a part of that. He plays first chair cello and Moultrie School's orchestra. And the choir decided to go to Disney World. So that, you know, there's a lot of interest in public schools east of the Cooper. And that would be something I think would be interesting on Quick Fact Friday, because many people may not know about this.
I think, can I reply?
Yes, Heidi.
I think, remember that the intent of the Quick Fact Fridays is to showcase the history of Mount Pleasant, but the town itself puts out a lot of other posts on the Facebook page about things that are going on and represent the town. I'm wondering if that just their regular posts is probably the better venue for that. And our post, our Quickfire Friday for this Friday is already scheduled.
So who would I contact? Martine?
Probably.
Would she be the person?
Maybe. Martine might be a good starting point.
Okay.
Communications office.
All right. Okay.
Because that's current news, right? So I think that would be good if it got out on the town's Facebook, and I think people will see that.
What about the CAP group?
That's arts,
that,
yeah?
That's
are they doing just visual arts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
a good...
I think that's where... Okay. Who's a contact over there?
I don't know who the chair is still.
Nicole Harvey with CAP.
Nicole is the staff person, but Kendra Sweet. Kendra Sweet is the chair, I believe, of CAP.
Is there a contact person in the town that I could...
She just said.
Oh, Martine?
Yeah.
Okay. I know Martine. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Do you mind if I...
Brittany?
Walter, I just wanted... And this is just could be something we think about is... I think organizing the archive room and finding images of public school, maybe if there's a history of, or we've kind of had a historic photograph of bands and school bands in Mount Pleasant, maybe that could be a QFF at one point. And I think the most important thing for Mount Pleasant is to link the history to today, the relevancy of Mount Pleasant. And I think that would be such an interesting idea that if we could find an historic image of Moultrie Middle School band or something where children are playing, we can maybe link, and that I think could be a common theme of just making sure we remain relevant to what's happening today, that students have been doing this for a very long time in Mount Pleasant, and this is obviously a highlight.
Like a then and now,
exactly.
Sort of. That'd be good.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I think probably some of this stuff is in the archive or in the records of Mount Pleasant, and that's why I think organizing what we have already in our records is so important, because we could find some really great gems in there to link to things like that. Mm-hmm.
I was around when they organized the band at Moultrie High School. You know, I solicited funds for that, and that eventually evolved into what's at Wando. Still some of those gentlemen around and women that were in that band. So I'd like to get with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm typing it because I can't hear you.
Patrick, could you... Go next?
Sure.
Since there were so many synergies between...
All right, first I'll go with the archive room. And I reached out to Carol Poplin, and she gave me a very concise update on where things are. She is not involved in the furnishing ordering. She gave dimensions per our input for plans for where the cabinetry would be, and she's sent that on to Lauren Sims with the town. I reached out to Lauren, but Lauren is out this week and is returning next week per her email, so I'll reach out again to her next week as far as ordering for cabinets, cases, storage, etc. However, within Carol Poplin's scope of what she's been doing, the quilt case is under construction and will be completed next week or so, and under her contract, the quilt and the case will be delivered and installed end of April, early May in the archive room. We have the draft proofs, which Carol sent to the town and the town gave to each of us to look at. I have some, I don't know if anyone else had edits as far as they went out to everybody, but I think if we could have some kind of common board we can put our inputs on, that would be good. But if not, I'll be happy to receive edits or what you propose on that. In brief, my key points on that, there was some talk of the Massachusetts 54th on that, but it was focused on areas outside of the town. If we're going to mention the 54th, it should be on posting within Mount Pleasant. And also, from when we did the Lang 150th, a gentleman who's in a reenactor unit for the South Carolina 1st and 2nd approached me, and he was talking about their role in the town. So I think if we're going to be talking about... United States colored troops during the Civil War, we need to have it more on a South, Mount Pleasant focus. And then also on the Revolutionary Era, I thought there were more significant events that occurred in the town than what were listed on those boards.
With regard to the timeline, Mary Julia was not happy with a lot of the wording and inconsistencies. So if you could get with her, and I know, Heidi, you look.
I sent mine because I thought we were supposed to send them directly to Chris, so that's what I did.
I've funneled everything back to Lauren.
Well, what I would propose, and that's what I was going to say, Carol Poplin had not heard back. She hadn't gotten anything back from Lauren yet for editing those boards. But since Mary Julia has concerns, I have concerns, I know who else might have concerns, can you just forward to Lauren to hold giving those inputs back to Carol until the commission blesses the content?
Yes.
There were also a lot of typos, and there was, yeah, it was...
And then another area, and I wasn't sure what Ms. Poplin was talking about, but again, it was a conversation she referenced with Lauren about getting map cases for the town. I know we had talked about that central table in the archive room being able to hold and store larger plats or maps, but as far as map cases, I didn't know what that conversation was, and I was going to defer to what Ms. Sims recalls before moving forward on that. All right, that's the infrastructure element of the archive room and the edits for the walls. As far as the Library Society, I think Chris touched upon this already. They have the one book, and I wanted to make sure we got in the record what our order is of what's a priority to be done. And the books that are being done now or should be done this fiscal year are the 1913 and 1933 minutes of town council meetings. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, say that again.
The 1913 and 1933 town council minute books?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's the first, and we'll have that done this year, and we've already allocated the funds for this year for that.
And that was the 830 option one.
Right. We went for the best option for restoration. The next book and priority, and as I understand your answer now, the town does not want us to forward any additional books until those are back, and then we can do it in the next fiscal year, correct?
Yes.
Right. And that next order, the next volume that we give for restoration should be the 1948 to 1961 minute book, correct?
Yes.
All right, and then we'll make individual assessments on the other elements after that's done.
Robert? There's a typo on the first item. It's not 1852 to 1800. It should be 1900. 1852 to 1900, I would assume.
Right here.
Yes, so that is true, but this is a Library Society document, right, so it's not even in our control. All right. Moving on, any other questions on the archive room? So I have no anticipated arrival time for the fixtures, and I'll talk with Brittany about what we have, but as far as materials we have, it isn't a trove of materials to dig through.
Brittany, I would like to, as far as communication is concerned, when the archive room is finished in its current state without any additional information going in there, I'd like to do a press release and pictures so the people know in town that there actually is a place they can make donations to and move forward in that way, because a lot of people in town are hesitant in giving us anything because they don't know about us and they don't know that the room is going to be existing. So I think it'd be a good chance for communications. Heidi?
I think we need to start calling it the history room, since that's sign they put out front instead of the archive room, which was, yeah.
Hey, Patrick, I'm sorry.
I personally am not quite ready to move from history room, from archive room to history room, but go with the consensus. The next item on my responsibilities, last month when we were talking about spending funds remaining this fiscal year, was possibly getting the signage for naming the substation in the old village the Edmund Jenkins substation. And I reached out to the Gibbs Museum and to the Historic Charleston Foundation and got some local contractors who do signage, and I was amazed at how inexpensive it can be. It's well within the budget, depending on two contractors I've got, if the town wants some kind of competitive bidding. It's roughly, the lowest price I got was $13 per square foot, and then the higher end was
$25 to $30 per square foot. But still, I'm anticipating putting the background of town service of Mr. Jenkins on a piece that would certainly not be larger than 2x4 to 3x5, and depending on the police department's input of where it can be posted at the building. But my concern with getting the sign done and getting it done before the end of the fiscal year is, though we have documented the times of service of Mr. Jenkins as the town marshal, there are only vague references to his Civil War service and the Spanish-American War service. I'd like to have those facts nailed down before we put the content on the sign. So I would not like to rush it for this fiscal year and get more research into his military service to include in his biography.
So at $15, at 15 square feet times, what was the first price?
$13.
So that's $225 if you round it up.
Right.
So, okay. Let's...
But
yeah, I would rather have the right information on there rather than trying to rush this through to spend it this fiscal year.
And the federal housing project that was built in the 1950s is named for him as well, but even the documentation on his history there is kind of vague. It only talks about service as the town marshal, and then the family has produced references to his other years of service in other capacities, but they haven't been fleshed out.
Okay.
All right. So we have the prices, something to look at next fiscal year, but I want to have the data in before we commit to a sign. That's all I have on committee reports. I have some other comments, but I'll wait for after.
Okay. Robert?
On the question of donations to the History Room, we were in the process of getting some advice from a town council concerning the process of the town accepting items for the History Room. Chris, has any progress been made on that?
Are you speaking to the legal? No, I can. You're talking about?
Patrick was working on that.
The last input, I spoke with some of the consultants in the legal department, and they were working with the Library Society downtown and some of the Charleston institutions that already have mechanisms for receiving, and they were developing that process. We weren't. But yeah, where it left off was we asked them to work on this from a town-wide perspective as opposed to a History Commission policy. And they were working on it.
Right.
We can follow up and see where they're at.
I think we should have that in place before we make any public announcement that the commission is accepting. Tomorrow morning, through the efforts of Thomasina Stokes Marshall, there will be a group visiting the African-American schoolhouse on Long Point Road to, first of all, inspect it. The idea, a concept, would be to see if it is possible to move that schoolhouse, which my understanding is it's the last segregated schoolhouse standing in the town of Mount Pleasant, to move that, if possible, to Snowden as part of their community center. Whether that's feasible or not, we don't know at this point, but tomorrow we're for the first time going to be able to inspect that schoolhouse.
Will you have an engineer there as well?
No, not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
We're just going to take a look. Coming out of the interest in the schoolhouse, Thomasina has spoken with elders within the Snowden community concerning developing an oral history project to interview some of the senior citizens in these unincorporated communities. And on Monday, through the efforts of Pat Sullivan, we're going to be meeting with the oral history folks at the Citadel, in the Citadel History Department, to see what might be possible in moving forward with that. Thomasina has lined up some folks that have been agreed or agreeable to having to being interviewed as part of an oral history project for the settlement community. So that will take place tomorrow morning. And let me just see. Just a note, I think talking about the timeline, the Massachusetts 54th was mustered out in Mount Pleasant. I think you knew that?
Yes, but the history board that they're proposing for the archive room makes no mention of that. It just talks about the movie and Battery Wagner. And it's like, I would rather be connected to the town.
Denzel Washington is prominently displayed. Okay. That is my report.
Thank you, Robert.
You had other comments?
Oh, my Quick Fact Friday for 2 weeks from now is Rifle Range Road. And in looking at that, I came across an article that Susanna Smith-Miles had done on Rifle Range. And I didn't realize this. I just wanted to bring it to the attention of the committee and have it in the minutes. If you're driving down Rifle Range Road between where the traffic circle is,
Porsche's Bluff.
No, not at Porsche's Bluff. Further, closer to the town. What is it?
It's the only traffic circle.
No.
On Rifle Range.
No. Yeah, by Oakland Plantation. What's the intersecting road there? Bowman. That's right. Where Bowman intersects, if you turn from Bowman and you're heading toward Ben Sawyer, there's a very old white clapboard structure on the right.
Walter knows. I asked Walter about that.
That is apparently the last surviving building of the Kinlock Plantation. It was the commissary. There used to be a row of slave cabins in that area. And then after the war, late in the 19th century into the 20th century, don't know the dates, wasn't in the article, but it was a sweet shop. And so it apparently has some age on it, and I think we need to look into how old the building is and possibly get a marker at that location. Just to have it on the record and open it up to discussion. I'll try to reach out to see if, Walter, do you have an idea who owns the property?
I know the
family. Here we go. We're off and running.
I noticed that there is an addition that there's a wall that's been put up behind it. That it's unfinished on one side and it's finished on the other side. I don't know what the...
That's a long story, but...
Okay.
Just as long as we capture it, that's fine.
I'm also on the board of Avery Research Center, the Institute, and they're having a Kentucky Derby party as a fundraiser on May 5th. I have tickets. They're $45 each. If people are interested in going. It's from 4 to 7. The race is at 6:30. We're going to have two televisions that we're having a drawing for. And it's a cash bar, and there's going to be a lot of food. So and that's at the City Gallery. And
is there going to be any gambling at this event?
Not unless you do it with each other. So I do have the tickets, and Avery is, this is a big fundraiser for Avery, so if you're interested. And there was a nice article in the Moultrie News yesterday. It probably, if you don't subscribe, you'll probably be getting it today. Thank you, Walter, for working with Emma and getting this out there. It was, and I know Mayor Haney put a lot of pressure on the Moultrie News people to get more information about us. He pledged that when we had the general's presentation. So he came through and got them to do something, I would assume. So maybe we can get better publicity in the future. Any other? Heidi?
Sorry, one item is, I know we decided that we didn't feel participating at the Blessing of the Fleet Festival was a good fit for us. How do we feel about the Sweetgrass Festival? I know that Ken had mentioned that last time, so I don't know if that's where we feel might be appropriate. I remember when I attended that event last year, walking around, the only stand that I noticed similar really to what we might do was, is it the countywide organization for African-American settlements? They had a desk there with some information. So I just wanted to raise that as, is that something we want to consider manning or having a stand at this year? That's coming up in late May.
Do we have a date?
I don't know. Sorry, offhand.
John?
Again, John Wright at 145 Rose Lane. I'd like to also mention a few. You might want to give consideration to meeting with Ed Lee with the East Cooper Civic Club. They host a forum during the day of the Sweetgrass Basket Festival in the Hallman
meeting room.
Right, in the meeting room from like 9 a.m. to about 2 p.m. or somewhere thereabouts, maybe noon. And they have a collection of different speakers on different issues, and I'm almost certain that you guys should be at least honored and given the opportunity to be introduced at that forum. So Ed Lee would be that contact, and East Cooper Civic Club, he's a member of our board, and I'd be glad to pass the information on him as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
That date is June 2nd of this week, Grass.
Thank you very much.
Does we all work the Blessing of the Fleet last year. Are you amenable to participating for a shift?
I will.
Okay. I will.
My only comment on that is I recall from the Blessing of the Fleet episode, and I had the afternoon shift with Ken, but...
You didn't have any traffic.
We had maybe one or two people show up. And
Heidi and I worked the beginning, and we were fairly busy at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when the day went on and people imbibed a little bit more, they had a less tendency
less
to find
concern
out.
Concern for history.
Right.
I will reach out to you, John, to get that contact information maybe for Mr. Lee. And I'll see if whether that forum aspect might be a better fit than having a table outside.
Agreed. Having the table outside, too, would be...
Okay. Well, that would mean more manpower.
It doesn't have to be
manned
necessarily,
right.
But there can be information there.
Okay.
People to pick up.
Okay. I'll look into that.
Any other comment, input? No? Can I have a motion? Yes, Walter?
Patrick, I've been getting telephone calls from Edmund Jenkinson's great-granddaughter.
She's an email contact.
And I've referred all that to you.
When was the last? Because I just emailed her like, 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
She's antsy about when this is going to come to fruition. So I referred all that to you. I refuse to discuss that with her because I'm not a party to that. But down on Bennett Street, there's a marker that speaks to the mustering out of the Massachusetts 54th. And the Historic Commission put that up when I was chairman.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm aware of that. I'm saying that our content on the archive room should be more consistent with that history than references to a movie.
Okay. All right. And the scene is something else. Slipped me. What was the other thing? Can't remember now. A senior moment.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Do we need to address anything with the budget? Last month we were concerned about trying to fill gaps to
see if
was a way to spend what was left in the budget.
We were going to try to put a big piece towards the RAC card. Will it work logistically if I prepare that draft and circulate it, say, over the next 2 weeks? And then do we need to meet to approve the draft, or can we just have... Rick
just,
approve it, or, I mean, what do we need to do to try to get it done in this fiscal year?
Important thing is you all need to vote and make a motion and vote on budget. I don't know that you need to make
what's
official motions on
what's left in
content.
Because at the last meeting we did address it, and what we said was for the RAC card, we requested 1,300 because we had at the last meeting about 3,200 available still, and so we requested about 1,300 for the RAC cards, but we didn't know what a two-sided RAC card would cost, and we were going to be looking into that. William was supposed to be looking into that.
Barbara, I seem to remember that we did have a motion for the RAC card. Is there any way that you can look at where you are with the minutes at all? Or should we just do another motion?
You probably do another motion, but I don't remember
there
being a motion.
If we have third...
No, I think we were just collecting data.
Okay.
You were going to point...
Well,
William was going to collect or Heidi was going to work with
I was going to do the draft. He was going to get the numbers together with Chris on the cost of a two-sided. We did have an estimate that Chris showed us from doing the Black History ones, which were only one-sided, and that was 1,000 copies for $200. So I was just thinking, you know, two-sided would double that.
Let me,
but 1,000 isn't many.
You said we've got 3,200 left in the budget.
We did as of last month.
Do we have any additional expenditures expected by anybody? Why don't we just approve the rack card up to 3,000, whatever that number is, it is.
And if it comes in under it, or we can decide on how many to print.
So could I have a motion?
Well, I'll make the motion. I'd like to make a motion to have $3,000 of our fiscal year budget allocated to producing rack cards for the Historical Commission's history information for the general public.
You have a second?
Second.
Do you have any discussion further? No? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? No? Okay.
Great. Thank you. I'll get running.
I have a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, everybody.